Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 196 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of March 6th, 2018. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight is PTD Dan Ryan.
Topical, yet not funny to anyone else.
Dan is a podcast transmitted disease.
That's right. You all have beards now.
And our special guest this evening is joining us from Level Up Entertainment is Mr. Scott Fine. Scott, how are you?
I'm pretty all right.
Pretty. That's a good answer.
I was gonna. Scott,
I wasn't gonna say fine. I've lived it for over 30 years. I know how to avoid that trap.
Sure. I mean, you're not wrong, Scott. But damn, it's good. Like, how you doing? Well, what's my name?
Yeah.
Pricks.
Scott is here to not call you all pricks and talk about some cool stuff that he's doing at his store, including an event that involves Dan and myself. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the words Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. And you know what? We did. First and foremost, Bill Moorfield, you are my hero.
You're goddamn right, Bill. We've been, like, this whole time, we've been wondering where Bill has been, and he's been listening. We just didn't, like, it just didn't sound like we meant it. I almost say meaned it, because I've had a little bit to drink already, but...
If you're just joining us and don't know what we're talking about, at the beginning of last week's episode, we said that we always wanted to hear from you, Bill. And we just said Bill a whole bunch of times. We said things to Bill. And then a listener named Bill wrote us in and said, "I'm doing all right." And it was wonderful.
It was pretty awesome. Bill, you are not only our hero, not only our one, our true, our only, but you are the wind beneath our wings.
I was also all manner of confused because I forgot we did that joke. And I was like, okay, I'm glad you're doing all right, Bill. What's going on? And then I remembered it was all super fun. So yeah, Bill Moorfield, he listens to us at the gym and he's a super awesome dude. And we really appreciate you listening to our show.
We do. Get your friends to listen.
Yeah, tell everyone you know. Meanwhile, I also have to exclaim from the rooftops before we get to anything else, the Chicken Wiggle has been funded. Chicken Wiggle for Nintendo Switch, the Kickstarter that I've been screaming about from the rooftops, has been funded. It's going to happen. I will get HD Chicken Wiggle on my Switch, and I'm super happy about that fact.
Mm-hmm. Was there an SD Chicken Wiggle?
Yeah, it came out on 3DS last year.
Okay, I've never heard of it.
Oh, it's great, and that's probably why nobody... bought it, because most people never heard of it. It's from Jules Watson and Tui, the people that did Mutant Muds and whatnot. The game's great. It's just this wonderful little platformer with a great create a level thing, and it stars a chicken and a worm. You know, the chicken's named Chicken and the worm's named Wiggle.
I gotcha.
It's wonderful. It's just delightful. You collect the letters FUN in the letter in the levels. I mean,
oh my god, that's amazing.
You literally find the fun. And
I'm surprised I haven't heard of that, because like Mutant Muds is everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is if you liked Mutant Muds, you will like Chicken Wiggle, and the new HD version like looks wonderful. The artwork he showed, it's all hand drawn and gorgeous, and you can switch back to the HD versions of the pixel graphics. Which, if you played Mutant Muds HD, they translate really well.
It's kind of like the new Wonder Boy that they did too, right?
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, kind of like that kind of style. No, except not an actual old game, just a slightly older game. And they're real close to hitting one of their first stretch goal. I mean, it's over in a couple of days, but their first stretch goal is an orchestrated soundtrack by Grant Kirkhope. So I got my fingers crossed for that, because Grant Kirkhope was kind of awesome. He's the one who did like Banjo-Kazooie and Yooka-Laylee and a bunch of other wonderful things. Anyway, That's enough of me gushing about Chicken Wiggle. Scott, how you doing? Who are you, and what do you? Why are you here? How did you get here?
I logged into the internet, and then some guy named Chris gave me a call on Skype and was like, "Hey, let's start talking about video games." Okay. No, seriously. I'm one of the managers of Level Up Entertainment. We're a comic book and retro game store in the Hamilton Mall in Southern New Jersey. I've gotten to know Chris over the years as he's one of our regulars. He comes in and buys, if you listen to this podcast, you can probably tell he's into what we would be selling.
If you listen to this podcast, you've heard me talk about this store a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, we've got some events coming up, and it just kind of worked out. They're like, hey, it kind of makes sense if I go on your podcast and talk about it.
Yes, events. You got events happening. Let's talk about it. It's happening right now, right? Like now?
Yeah, we just, tonight just ended the second night of our retro challenge. Hopefully it will be first annual retro challenge. We're going to see how this one goes first. Right. Each week this month in April, we're doing a different challenge in the store. This week is Punch Out. It's going to be, the challenge is to get the fastest time in beating the minor circuit. So that's Glass Joe, Von Kaiser, and Piston Honda. Last night was the first night of it, as of this recording. And the first person to do it, he had to be a teenager. And we all did the challenge in the store just so I can get data and figure out how long time was and, like, different skill spreads. And he, like, blew past all of our scores. So right now the time to beat is doing it in, like, 4 minutes, 45 seconds, and some change, which is pretty good. The best I got was like 7, because I wasn't really trying to win. I was just, some super rusty at it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so each week this month is different things. Next week is an F-Zero challenge, then it's a DuckTales on NES challenge, and then Sonic. And then the top player from each of these challenges on our will compete in a final showdown with a mystery game. We'll be able to do that in front of a crowd at our big event every year is called Free Comic Book Day. This year happens to be May 5th. So you'll come up on stage and we'll project the final challenge. And then the best winner of that will get like a trophy and a big grand prize. But the most exciting thing about that is we have some special guest commentators for that event.
Ooh, the pressure is on.
Yeah.
You're the most exciting thing about that.
I guess.
I'm exciting, Chris.
Yeah. You are. I would be excited to see you.
Well,
I'm hopefully playing to your audience. Maybe they're like, if they listen to you guys on a regular basis, they must like you. But yes, you guys will be doing you guys will host and color commentate the finals of the retro challenge on Free Comic Book Day, May 5th. We haven't nailed down the time of the finals, but it'll probably be like 1 or 2, like early afternoon.
All right. Awesome.
Well, yeah, we're going to have to make some decisions here, Chris. Like, are you going to do play-by-play and I'll do color? Or do you not even know what any of those things mean because you don't like sports?
Yes.
That's what I figured. Okay.
Well, I mean, I was going to bring a coloring book.
That's exactly what that means.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Well done.
It's the finals are in Mario Paint.
The best kind of commentary is silent with someone drawing.
It's absolutely right.
That's what makes for compelling sports TV.
It really does. Like, there's nothing I like better than thinking to myself, what the hell is going on in this game? I don't know. The broadcasters haven't said shit.
I prefer to watch the Super Bowl on mute, actually, while playing Pictionary. It's
it's the way God intended it.
It really is.
I usually listen to the previous year's game to see if anything lines up.
I just listened to it with Dark Side of the Moon playing.
There you go.
So for anyone listening who doesn't know what Free Comic Book Day is, I know this is a video game podcast, but Free Comic Book Day is a super cool thing that's actually industry-wide. It's not just at the Hamilton Mall. Obviously, it's super big at the Hamilton Mall, and you guys do it upright. But it's an industry-wide thing. It's all across the country. It's the first Saturday in May every year, and publishers make a whole bunch of comic books just for that day. A lot of times they're reprints. Sometimes they're new unique material, and they're a really good way to support your local comic book stores, because just because the books are free to you doesn't mean they're free to the retailers. So go in and get some free books and buy one or two while you're there. It's always a good thing.
And we have a lot more than just the finals of this video game challenge. We'll have sales on all basically everything in the store. There'll be free we'll have our selection of free comics and stuff, but we're gonna have comic book writers and artists. We're gonna have local crafters and vendors. We're gonna have multiple panels and live shows. There's gonna be live music. Super Thrash Brothers. We'll be playing a show there. We have a huge costume contest. It's a really big event, and we run it all day. We're also doing
you guys in the mall basically turn it into a convention. Basically,
we do. We also have a pinball tournament that's going to be that day. We have a Gundam building competition. We have live board game demos. We have get your photos taken with a bunch of Star Wars props and high quality cosplayers. There's going to be video game demos from some new upcoming games. I know a couple developers that are going to come out. I'm sure I'm forgetting something. There's going to be a trivia contest with prizes. We're going to do a charity auction. We have a lot of stuff going on.
That's now we're definitely not the most exciting thing.
Yeah, no, we are now officially last on the list. Which is fair.
We're about akin to a low quality cosplay contest, right?
Yes, at least one. I mean, you guys can show up.
Get your picture taken with some bad cosplay.
Yeah, everything's made out of cardboard. Your mom Labo helped man. Them.
Exactly, we are Nintendo Labo. That's cosplay. Right.
Yeah.
Is there? I'm a little bit out of the loop currently. Is there a big book that's free this year? Because it will become Free Comic Book Day is the week after Infinity War, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's usually those big Marvel movies usually come out that weekend.
Yeah.
They moved up Infinity War a week for whatever reason.
Wasn't it because there was something else big coming out?
Because Han Solo's coming out later in May. I don't know if they were trying to spread them out a little bit.
Yeah, they didn't want to cannibalize themselves.
But I honestly feel get off topic. I honestly feel like Disney's kind of expecting Han Solo to bomb. So I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't move it up just to kind of bury it.
Fair enough. But is there an Avengers tie-in book or anything?
There's an Avengers book. It's to set up in May there, or maybe the month after. I should know, but I don't know offhand. Marvel's
Sorry,
doing
I,
like
I assumed.
A, no, Marvel's doing like a refresh.
Right.
All their books are going back to number one, and
Marvel's doing a refresh,
which is great.
It's sort of another Marvel reboot, but the Avengers team's changing, so it's kind of setting that up. They're also doing a Amazing Spider-Man book, because that's got a new head writer for the first time in a decade. So it's kind
I know
of
Dan Slott's leaving, and that makes me really sad.
It makes me so happy.
Does it really?
I keep trying Dan Slott's Spider-Man, and I just keep not liking it.
I really like him. I mean, I get it. He's not for everybody.
Yeah. But just in general, it's kind of good to change, get some different creative perspective every once in a while.
It is. I want Todd McFarlane back. Put McFarlane back on the book, writing and drawing. He's done no wrong.
Yeah. Is he the last time he tried to really do a regular ongoing comic was Haunt? And who remembers that?
It was terrible. Him and Robert Kirkman. Ugh. Gross.
Yeah.
So here on the Paper Cuts podcast, just changed things.
I'm dead. I just remembered some covers of Haunt, and customers walking into my store and were like, "Hey, was this a Venom comic? No,
no,
no, no. Is it Spawn? No, not. Yeah, it was. It that was kind of just the general reaction. Was like, oh, when really Todd McFarlane and Robert Kirkman together on a book should be huge.
That should be gigantic.
But you got to have something good to go and to get people to want to read it in the first place.
It was just a half-baked Todd McFarlane throwaway character idea.
There is.
It was basically Blue Dragon for Akira Toriyama. Akira Toriyama.
Yeah, that's a good
lazy
analogy.
As could
yeah.
be. I'm looking at the site right now. There is a Nightmare Before Christmas comic. Do you know if you're getting that one?
Yes, we're getting that. Because they're doing a new original manga that follows up on the movie. I know at least the first story they were doing is about Zero.
Yeah. Can I request one to be held for my daughter? She.
Oh yeah, it's no problem.
Sweet.
Send your requests to mail.
Well, if you go on our website, levelupentertainment.com, or if you go to fcbdnj.com, which is short for Free Comic Book Day in New Jersey, it'll take you. You can get to our Free Comic Book Day site, which will have a list of all of the comics we'll be getting in the store, plus a little description of each one.
Yeah, it looks like there's some really good stuff coming out. Like this one, the Street Fighter book.
Yeah, there's a Street Fighter book. I know Shadow Man. Shadow Man is cool. Like they did make a video game out of Shadow Man, but we don't need to remind people of that because that game is pretty bad. We're getting a lot of kids' books. The DC book this year is Superhero Girls. They're not doing like a big one like how Marvel's doing Avengers and Spidey. They're not. The DC doesn't have one happening. Which is, you know, fine. But it's nice to get books for kids because, you know, if it's free, your parents are like, oh, yeah, you can read that. And then if kids can start reading, like, they can start, you know, getting more into comics and you can start getting more regular readers from that.
Very cool. So back to the, reeling it back to the tournament a little bit, how did you pick the games that you were going to do for this tournament? Because, well, you know, first one is NES Punch Out, right? Are you rocking a Mike Tyson's cart or
it's a Mike Tyson's cart? Because, well, the simple when I was going through the games that I was whittling down to do, the first thing was, do I have this? but I wanted to pick some stuff that was popular that people would maybe already have a level of familiarity with, or at least like I've heard of that game. And then you know I announced them like months ahead of time, so like, hey, practice. Because I'm not really letting people do multiple tries just to be fair. You know, not multiple tries of like when you actually are at the challenge. Just be fair, because I don't want to give someone two and then someone get like doesn't have time to get one if I have to go through a bunch of people. So that way there's not like a big line. But I picked them based on like different, like then. So I picked from games that were popular and then I have. Like regular access to, and then I kind of went like try to do different kinds of like genres of games which I could do different kinds of challenges with. So like all right, so Punch Out's a speed one, but it's, you know, it's like the puzzle boxing game, like it's more about timing than necessarily like going fast.
Yeah, if you're going in there, like here's a hot tip if you want to go compete. If you're going in there just to throw punches, you're gonna lose. You'll take down Glass Joe, but if you want to get a good time, it's all about dodges and counterattacks.
I've already had a couple people lose to Glass Joe.
Really?
Which is surprising.
I didn't think that was possible.
Well, because you can kind of just walk in and then like if no one's busy, it's like, hey, I can sign you up and you can just do it. So like, you know, get some like average people to come and like, all right, I don't really get this game, even though I like have the controls and stuff set up next to the TV, so you can kind of get an idea of what all the things you can do. But like, so yeah, so this one's, I decided to do the fastest time in the minor circuit just because it's the beginning of the game, so I can kind of like hit reset and like not have to worry about
doing not like entering a password or anything like that. Now, real quick before you move on to F-Zero, how are you playing this on a CRT or on a flat screen?
We are playing it on a CRT.
Oh, good man. All right.
Which, you know, it's like, you know, all 10 million pounds of it moving it into the store. but I am playing it on CRT. We are playing it on a Retron 3.
Okay.
But you are using an actual NES controller. The Retron 3 we're using because it has slots for Nintendo Genesis and Super Nintendo. So it's just really convenient for us.
Gotcha.
But like, yeah, so we're playing it on CRT. I don't experience any lag. Like, to me, it plays like Punch-Out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Retron 3 introduces much in the way of lag when you're connecting it to a CRT. I know that it's playing Punch Out on a HD TV is dicey business to say the least.
Yeah,
but good on you for going CRT. I'm damn proud of you.
Yeah, that was something we knew we wanted to do, and you know we do a thing like occasionally we like go to a convention or like for instance we just recently had Atlantic City Beer Fest in Atlantic City. And we have a thing called Retro Lounge, which we'll bring out to that, where we'll have a bunch of like NES stations with like Duck Hunt and Mario Brothers, and then like a four-player Mario Kart 64 set up, so people can kind of like take a break and play video games with their friends. So I have TVs and stuff.
Pretty smart idea.
So we have TVs and stuff from that. So I'm using one of those ones.
All right, cool. All right, so the next game is F-Zero, right?
It's F-Zero, and it's the fastest time on Mute City. Now, that one's actually a racing game, and it's one you can die in, so we felt like that might be fun. Try to do something that wasn't Mario Kart, not that F-Zero is, like, obscure, but something slightly more off the beaten path from, like, the average Joe off the street.
Yeah, it's recognizable enough that, you know, most people know the name, but not 100% of the people are going to be like, oh, yeah, I played F-Zero all the time.
Yeah, so we definitely wanted to do at least one racing game just to, you know, kind of change it up. Then after the week after that is DuckTales. It's going to be the moon stage. You have 4 minutes to get, and then the highest possible score is the person who will win that one. And I picked that one. I was waffling between that and Mega Man. I went DuckTales because the moon stage is kind of like this classic, iconic, well-loved stage. I couldn't think of one specific one from Mega Man that, like, everyone can kind of agree on.
Yeah, especially if you're doing, you know, Mega Man 1, which is the only one with score in it.
Yeah, that would be the one I'd have to do. And I'm like, I like Cutman's stage, but, like, everyone, I don't know if people would, like, there's not, like, a general consensus, I feel.
You couldn't do Gutsman stage because everyone would just die on those moving platforms. Yeah. Anyone who hasn't played the game is just going to die there.
Iceman's the same way.
Yeah.
It would be...
I hate Iceman stage.
Yeah.
I'd also be worried that, like, Mega Man be way too hard for, like, the average person. Because, like, I think it's hard, and I do love retro games.
I mean, not that DuckTales isn't hard. I mean, yeah, you're still talking about classic Capcom NES games, but it's still a bit more accessible, I think.
Yeah, it's a little more forgiving. There's not those ridiculous platform challenges we were mentioning.
And by picking the moon stage, you get to listen to that great music.
That's exactly. I think that's why that stage is so, like, kind of universally, like, accepted as most people's favorite stage in that game.
But I have always been more partial to the Amazon myself. I know I'm in the minority when that's concerned. No. I mean, obviously, I love the Moonstage music. It's phenomenal.
My favorite's Transylvania, man.
A lot of people love Transylvania, too.
I love Transylvania.
When they announced the DuckTales remastered, the one that I was the most excited to hear was Jake Kaufman's take on the Amazon. Because I just love it. It's one of my favorite NES songs. It's so good.
Oh, it's great. The whole soundtrack that game is great.
It really is, and the remastered soundtrack is really, really, really phenomenal. And especially, like, considering, like, we were just talking about the moon stage is this kind of like high holy thing in the pantheon of NES music, and Jake Kaufman had a Herculean task to make a new version of that song, and I think he did a spectacular job, really, with the entire soundtrack.
Yeah, he had big spats to fill.
Well played.
Yeah, but no, Jake Kaufman's so good. Like, not just the DuckTales, because they had original pieces in that remastered one too, but they still had, like, he made new 8-bit versions of them so you can play the whole game.
I know, that was so cool. And, like, they really did a good job of matching up to the original NES soundtrack. I was, again, very impressed. It was a Hiroshige Tonomura, I think, was the composer on the original game, and what a classic soundtrack. And Jake Kaufman did just the best job I could have possibly imagined.
Oh my god, I want to hear more games. I want him to compose more games, because, like, Shovel Knight's also one of my favorite.
Oh my god, yeah,
by far, like, crazy modern soundtracks. But yeah, so that's the DuckTales challenge. I limited it to 4 minutes just because I'd have to put a cap on it, otherwise someone could in theory just play it forever. So high score. So if you want to get practicing on that, like, time yourself and try to see what kind of score you can get. But that's, you know, still a couple weeks out. And then the last week in April, it's going to be Sonic the Hedgehog, the original game. It's going to be the fastest time from the start of Green Hill Zone until you save the animals at the end of the first Eggman boss.
Oh, so the entirety of, like, both
acts? All three acts of Green Hill Zone. Aww. And the only suggestion I have for you in that is you just got to go fast.
Yeah, got to go fast.
That sounds pretty awesome. I like those. Sonic they're not not your standard, like, we're going to play Smash Brothers. Like, okay.
Yeah, cool. And when it comes to the challenge, I do have a tie-breaking game if I absolutely need it. I'm going to bring Street Fighter 2 for Super Nintendo. And if there's a tie...
Warrior?
Yeah.
Yes!
If there's a tie at the finals, It'll be like a we'll do a quick little like 2-round fight of that.
Where Chris and I get to pick their characters, right?
We'll talk about that.
Okay. Because it's going to be Dalsim and Zangief. Just
I can't imagine a scenario where two people would wind up with the exact same score. Just in case, it's always good to have a backup there. Yeah. But see, now Dan and I know what the finale is, but it's a surprise, so we're not going to tell.
Yeah, we are keeping it a secret to everybody.
But it, well
it's,
done.
It's going to be very cool. I'm very excited.
I thought we spoiled it last week, Chris. Isn't it the speed run through Final Fantasy VII?
Yes, that's right.
Good to see.
Live on stage.
How quickly you could get through it.
Yeah. I guess I'll mention I have a story about the finals for this. I guess I'll mention what it's not. It was going to be Super Mario Brothers 3 because I originally imagined this to be more like a wizard type situation. But I couldn't really come up with a challenge with that, and I was going to make a Mario Brothers 3 level in Mario Maker so that way the people hadn't had a chance to play it. But then it was pointed out to me that whoever goes last will have like a huge unfair advantage over whoever goes first because they get to see it played a bunch of times. So we came up with something, I think, a little bit more unique and exciting.
That's funny that you mentioned that because I competed in a tournament and won where they did that wizard thing and the finale was Super Mario 3 and they had us all play at the same time. And so the tournament was the Lovesack NES Classic sponsored by Destructoid at a barcade in Brooklyn. And the games were Contra for NES, fastest time through the first level, fastest time through the first level in Super Mario 1, and fastest exactly what you were talking about, the first three characters in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And I practiced for this thing. Like I was expecting to go in there and have some like crazy competition, and it was really just like a handful of other drunk people against me, and I just demolished everyone. But the way they did the end was they had us all playing at the same time, Super Mario 3, racing to the end of the first level, and then I finished the first level in like I don't know no time because it's the first level of Mario 3. I know it backwards and forwards, and they're like,
yeah,
you know what, finish the end of the world, it's the end of world one, whoever can get that wins. And then I still won, but it was super fun to do that.
You're just doing
the one, you know, everyone's going one at a time, so
yeah that's the easiest way for us to kind of do this one, because I don't know how to set up like four projections because I want the audience to be able to see what's going on.
How big is this projection screen? How big is it going to be?
It's going to be decent size. We're gonna do it in one of the rooms in the mall. So I'll be able to turn out the lights so we can see it nice and bright. But I'll be splitting the signal so the people playing will be playing looking at a CRT TV, and then the signal will also be running to a projector so the audience can see as well.
Oh, okay, that's excellent. I like that. I like that a lot. Man, I wish you were doing that because then I could pretend I was that guy from The Wizard and go, Super Mario Brothers 3!
Well, we can kind of still do that because I have an idea on how we can like excite, like very quickly unveil this game that we are going to be doing, because I think it's going to be exciting. I don't think it's something people are going to be expecting.
I need to be able to dress like that guy. I can only talk like him for a couple of seconds, though.
That's all you need. Ooh.
Who was that guy? I've never seen that guy in anything else. I'm IMDb-ing that stuff. Dan,
can I be honest? I haven't seen The Wizard in like 12 years.
I just watched it like last week.
Yeah.
It's on regular rotation in my life.
I've seen Howard the Duck more recently than I've seen The Wizard.
Wow.
Wow.
I actually saw that on Sunday. I inadvertently offered to write 250 to 500 words about that movie for one of our local newspaper reporters. He's doing an article about the non-Marvel universe, like the MCU Marvel movies. So I happened to mention, I was like, oh, Howard the Duck terrified me when I was a kid because he's so scary looking.
He is terrifying.
So he's like, so he messaged me. He's like, hey, do you want to do that? And I was like, yeah, I'm not busy enough as it is, so I'll do that for you. So I was like, I haven't watched that movie in a while, so I needed to refresh my memory.
This dude, Stephen Greaves, he looks like a monster. Like, he has aged like a handbag.
Well, does he look like a monster in that he looks like something from the Where the Wild Things Are, or like Grover? Because there's more cuddly monsters.
Neither. He's like, I don't even know how to put it. He's bald now. And he's like, he's got very, very, very leathery skin. I'm 90% sure this is him. Like, it looks like him, but he just looks like he's aged 450 years since.
And maybe he's had a hard life, man.
It's possible. He's well, last thing he did was in 2011. Is he dead? No, he's not dead.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, the last thing he did was Sinbad and the Minotaur, the TV movie in 2011.
Oh, that memorable classic.
That old chestnut.
He was on Beastmaster.
Who wasn't? That's not an accomplishment.
King Zad on Beastmaster. Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles. Wow. This guy's had quite the career.
Of the Crocodile Dundee sequels.
I say everyone's favorite Crocodile Dundee.
He was in Highlander 2? Huh.
Oh, everyone's favorite Highlander movie. Yeah.
Apparently, if you want to kill your franchise, this is your go-to dude.
Wow, this guy's got a ton of credits, just nothing recent. Like, he did a bunch of stuff.
I guess he's just Z-Cars. I guess he's just a minor like character actor.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, yeah, Steven Grimes is the guy that did the voice announcer for the tournament in The Wizard. You're welcome, Internet.
Now we know this.
Now we know.
Let's see if we can get him on.
Yeah, let's say if anyone knows him, like, yeah, have him drop us a line.
That's what we should do for our 200th episode. We should interview this guy.
We should have him also commentate with us. We should have a 3-man booth.
My God,
that'd be amazing.
I wonder how many people ask him to do that. Like, I wonder how many people have actually reached out.
Zero people. Most people assume he's dead.
He does live in the UK, so he lives in Lordsworth, Warwickshire, England, UK.
He might as well be dead.
Exactly.
All right. Well, look, we're super excited about this tournament thing. I'm, you know, super jazzed that you guys are doing so much for comic books and local video games, like in, you know, my hometown. I'm super jazzed about it. So thank you for having us do that. I think this is going to be a good. I think it's going to be a good place for a break. We're going to, you know, go off and do some commercials. And when we come back, we'll talk. We'll just continue to shoot the shit with Scott. So you're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. So stick around.
And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, your monthly dose of tabletop gaming is here, and this month, Chris?
This month. April.
This month. April. It's the month we're in. Dave and Jengiz have a fucking smorgasbord of stuff to discuss.
Jesus, hyperbole. The hyperbole is real.
It's not. Factual. Join them, Chris, David Jengiz, as they look at the new mechanics in Dominaria. Thrill as Dave describes how the newest beta of MTG Arena is shaping up. Scoff in disbelief as they both promise to watch an interview. Then, Chris, after all of that, after you are physically spent... Our heroes, Dave and Jengiz, this month, don their best impressions and tell tales of randomly generated monsters. And Dave, get this, Chris, Dave gets Jengiz hyped for Gloomhaven. Right? Gloomhaven, which is an upcoming legacy dungeon crawling board game. Don't miss. You Shall Not Pass Go, Episode 26, Monster Manual Rick.
Well, with a description like that, how can I miss it, Dan?
You can't, because you're the editor-in-chief. You have to listen to everything.
Yes, I have to listen to everything.
That's right.
I listen to all of it. Anyway, next up, it is a month full of triumphant returns, gearing up for summer tours, and excellent names. Janelle Hawks once again brings us her monthly music review for all the new tunes you can and probably should be listening to for the next 30 days or more. Be sure to read Turn It Up, new music for April 2018, located in the think tank.
Oh, Finally, Chris, in the new episode.
Finally.
In the new episode. The new episode of Nonstop Comic Shop, Jordan looks back at when Marvel and DC introduced mythological, immortal warrior women. Teach us all the wrong lessons about feminism. First, in Avengers 83, Thor Ragnarok's own Valkyrie, in her first ever comic book appearance, expends very little effort to convince most of Marvel's superheroines to violently overthrow their distaff male counterparts. Then, in Fury, a crappy episode from the crappy first season of the Justice League, one of Wonder Woman's adoptive Amazonian sisters is out to kill every man in man's world by apparently making them allergic to their own cash and prizes.
Yeah. See, now I take umbrage with this because I think the first season of Justice League is great.
I don't even remember this episode.
The cartoon, right, is what we're talking about.
Yeah. We're talking about the old DC animated universe. Yeah. I remember this episode.
Yeah,
it was something.
It was a thing.
Yeah, it was like in the beginning of it. I think Batman gets put down, and like this woman's like operating on him or what, like trying to like get him on the gurney or whatever. And she goes to like take off his mask, and he grabs her hand real quick. It's like he's dying. It's like, no, you're not getting in here. No,
take my balls before my mask. I'm Batman. Hands off the merchandise, and I don't mean my junk.
Well, I mean, in theory, that suit costs way more than we'll ever see in our lives.
Good point.
It's true.
Yeah, I wouldn't want people touching that.
Speaking of
the grubby peasant fingers.
You should take your grubby peasant fingers and click on a listen to the Nonstop Comic Shop, episode 19. We will be greeted as liberators.
You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at geekade.com. We are back. We now know what the word distaff means, and well, now we know that, and we're not sharing that information. No, share that information. Dan, what does distaff mean?
Oh, man, now I got to look it back up. It is a stick that is, hold on, a stick or spindle. Sorry, Webster's Dictionary defines distaff as a stick or spindle onto which wool or flax is wound for spinning.
Thank you. Can you spin flax? What?
I don't know. The seeds are in my oatmeal in the morning, but
yeah, I put milled flax seed in my genius muffins.
Well, it's probably not the seed. It's probably like a fiber from the plant.
Oh, yeah. There's probably a flax plant, isn't there?
Yeah.
Theoretically, if there is a seed,
that's where the seeds come from.
There is indeed a plant. Wow. There's a Mitch Hedberg joke about that I can't remember right now.
All right, that's our show. Thanks.
God damn it.
If you remember that Mitch Hedberg show, jokes, write us in.
No, yeah, right, fucking, right in.
It's sesame seeds. What the fuck to the flax is cast. A sesame? We never know where are all the sesame seeds coming from. Have you ever seen a sesame plant? No. Anyway.
A good point.
That's a good point. So it's a fair point. So,
yeah.
We're going to fill out the back half of this with nothing but flax-related commentary.
I love flax seeds, personally.
I think it's good stuff.
I get these overnight oat things from Quaker. Flax seeds, banana and vanilla and blueberries. It's delicious.
See, I just make these things I call genius muffins.
Because you're a pretentious shit.
No, actually, John Wentz named them. I did not name them. I just, you know, had this recipe for muffins that my mom gave me. And John ate one and was like, these shall now henceforth be called genius muffins because they are quite genius.
Fair enough. John is also a bit of a pretentious shit. I love him to death, but...
Yeah, I think that's kind of his persona.
That's a fair...
Inside baseball.
Go listen to Argyle Johansson. Anyway.
So, we're just going to talk about what we usually talk about in the first half of the show, which is what we've been playing. So, Dan... Well, no, it's Scott. Scott, you're our special guest. So, why don't you go first? What have you been doing?
I've been playing Ni No Kuni 2. I think I'm almost at the end of the game now, like 30 hours in. I'm actually really happy I'm playing this game because I don't own a PS4. I thought it was PS4 exclusive. Then I've turned on Steam. And it was like, oh, this game just released. I was like, oh, there goes the rest of my life. So let me just download that real quick. But I really like it so far.
Hours to live?
Yeah.
Shit.
I'm so sorry. Why are you spending time on this podcast?
Yeah, really. Go like hug a loved one. I mean, we're wonderful, but.
I mean, you're just assuming I have someone as a loved one.
Oh, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
Way to take us down, Scott.
That's what I'm known for. I really like it. Because I thought it was going to be on a system I wasn't playing it on. I was like, well, I'm not going to bother following like all the trailers and hype for it.
Right.
So I started playing the game, and you start as like the president of the United States. And then your city you're going to is like exploded, and then you just wake up in Ni No Kuni, like their world. And I was like, "What is happening?" It's very different from the first game, and it was really jarring to me. But if I had been following it, I probably would have known that.
Is it better than the first game?
It's different.
Is the combat more simplified?
No, the combat is it's much more of like an action game than the first game was.
Okay,
and like. There's still a little bit of a Pokemon element, but not really as much as the first game was. Because you can get like these little wisps that like will occasionally like be able to cast a spell with them.
Right.
But like they're not like active party members like that you level up and like can customize like you did
like,
in the first game.
That was the only thing I felt poorly about with the first game was that there was just too much.
This game's a lot harder in a good way.
Okay.
Because the first game I enjoyed, but it was you could kind of turn your brain off for most of it.
Yeah.
This game's a lot harder but because it's more of an action game, if you know what you're doing, like I'm killing things like 20 levels higher than me. It's just like by just like playing better, you know?
That's awesome though.
Yeah. I really, really like it. It's very different. I'm trying not to compare them until I'm at least done this.
Right.
I will say if you did like the first game, you'd definitely check out the second game. Because what's made the first game, like, special, like, the presentation and the sound and the story, like, the whole, like, Miyazaki-esque world, like, that's still very much alive in this new game, and it's worth experiencing just for that. And I'm someone that really doesn't care about, like, that story and stuff in video games,
mm-hmm.
So the fact that I'm recommending it based on mostly on that, like, that alone, like, it's a good game, too, that says a lot, because I generally, like, don't... Like, to me, the best story in a video game for a while was, like, Super Mario Odyssey, because it just kind of got out of my way.
That's fair.
Dan doesn't like Mario.
I don't.
Can I ask a question? How do you not like Mario? Did you just not grow up with him? Do you not
platformers? I just never found them to be all that fun. I can appreciate the brilliance of the game design. But I never really liked the characters. I never really liked the world that they created. Like, when I had my Nintendo when I was a kid, like, I played Super Mario Brothers, and I was like, all right, like, this is kind of fun. And then I played Mega Man and was like, oh, no, this is what I like. And then I played Metroid and Kid Icarus and was like, oh, no, this is what I like. And I don't know. I just always...
That's fair.
Yeah, objectively, they are not bad games, but I am not a huge fan of games that are, and like I feel bad when I describe them as juvenile, but there's a juvenile element to them that like I don't want to play a video game where my dude can dress up in a cat suit. That's not some shit I'm into.
Well, that's one of my least favorite Mario games.
you know what I mean? Like there's a childlike joy that I suppose I am too jaded to be able to come around to.
I don't know. I'm one of the most cynical people most like all of my friends know, and like, yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things. Like, if you get it, it's either you like it or you don't. Like,
yeah, it's just not. They're just not for me. You know, yeah. we talk about it all the time. Kirby is not for me.
Dan is objectively a bad person, though. Yeah,
that is very true.
That's fair. I used to be a huge Kirby fan, but like, Kirby's design philosophy is basically like a kid's first video game. So it's very soft and very hand-holdy, and it's cute and adorable, but like the games don't stay compelling for me. Like, I loved Kirby's Adventure. That's probably one of my favorite games ever.
Yeah, but like, Kirby's Adventure is great.
But Kirby's had diminishing returns. Like, Star Allies just came out and I played the demo and I was like, I got my Kirby experience. I don't need to buy a full game. But I also don't. I would also probably be playing that by myself, and I don't have kids. Hmm. So I think I'd get more out of that if I had a younger kid and I was playing it with him, and be something we could enjoy together. It'd probably be a great game, but like for me, just as a guy on my own, it just doesn't do anything for me.
I'll actually have something to say about that in a bit, because that's one of the games I've been playing. But I agree with you with the whole Kirby's Adventure thing, though. It's still my favorite game in the series, and because, you know, Kirby's Adventure had. There was some, you know, the game itself isn't like crazy hard or anything, but getting 100%ing it was a bit of a challenge. Like, finding a lot of those secrets were really interesting.
That was what makes that game like great, because you'd have to plan ahead for your I found a switch here, but like I can't reach it. Well, there's certain power ups like the hammer that can go through walls, but that's not in this stage. I have to get it from another stage and I have to bring it there. That's the first game I ever 100% completed as a kid, and like, oh, it was so satisfying to have done that.
And that last boss, that's one thing I love about Kirby games is how the last bosses are just like, even like up to King DDD is all pretty cute, and then you get to the last boss, like, no, this is a hellish nightmare escape.
This is so jarring. Demon
with a giant chin that wants to murder you.
And his like body is like chaos personified.
It's so freaking weird, man.
But it's so cool because you got the star rod, and there's a form where you're flying around, and it's like a shoot 'em up.
Oh, and then you got that game.
Oh, I love Kirby's Adventure.
And Kirby's also really cool when he's like that. We're just talking about the mainline Kirby games.
Yeah,
I like Kirby when he goes outside of the box too. You know, like
Air Ride
Kirby's or... Dream Course for Super Nintendo is such a goddamn good game. It's like the greatest mini golf game ever. Kirby's Black
Ribbit
Ball,
King, sir.
Fair enough. I've spent much time with Ribbit King, and I think Kirby's Dream Course is freaking magical.
Ribbit King Frog Golf is the best thing ever.
Anyway,
the only golf game I played in a long time was Golf Story for Switch, which is pretty great. But I got stuck on the last tournament. I accidentally started with the wrong clubs. And so once you start a tournament, you can't back out of it. So I'm just stuck at the end of the game, and I can't beat it.
You can't, like, lose the tournament and start
over
again?
If you lose, it just takes you back to the beginning of the tournament.
Oh, that sucks. I do want to play that game.
Yeah, the problem is, like, there's just one hole that I can't, like, I get, like, 8 strokes behind on, and I just can't climb the gap.
Hmm.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, it's a really great game, though. I might just start it over and play it less dumb.
There you go.
But it's amazing because it's got frisbee golf, it's got lawn golf, it's got an NES style, like the NES golf game in it called Galf. Oh, there's so much in it that besides, and then the golf mechanics are great too.
Huh. So,
it's not what I'm playing right now, but it's something I've recently played.
Hmm. Yeah, Dean played through Golf Story. Absolutely loves it. I want to try it, but it's so low on my list of priorities right now. I'm currently sitting on 2 games I haven't even touched, so...
That's fair enough.
Maybe one of these days, but they just keep releasing games that I want, so, I mean, shit's gonna stack up eventually.
I mean, it's a good problem to have.
It is. It's such a different situation than I was in with Wii U.
Yeah, and I love the Wii U, but, yeah, I can't defend its, like, lack of stuff coming out.
Mm-hmm. So Dan, what have you been up to?
I haven't played anything new since we last talked, because I'm trying to get through the stuff that I have, because God of War is coming very soon. And I need that. I need that in my life. Like I need it yesterday, but it's like what? Like 3 weeks away from when we're recording now?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, 2 or 3.
2 or 3 weeks. So I am very, very excited for that. I'm trying to finish up Shadow of the Colossus. I haven't even touched Broly
Bardock.
Bardock. Thank you. I was blanking on his name. I haven't even touched them in FighterZ or any of the other stuff that I've got going on. And there were new PS Plus games that released today that I haven't even downloaded yet. And then, you know, Puzzle and Dragons. You know, everybody who's listening to the show, by the way, there's you can vote for the card to be added to the Monster Shop. So please, for me, go vote for Cotton, because that's what it should be. Probably not going to be, but that's what it should be. So go vote for Cotton.
So you said you played that Dragon Ball fighting game.
Yes.
What do you guys think? How is it supposed to be announced? Is it FighterZ or Fighters?
I would say FighterZ.
I believe it is officially supposed to be Fighters.
I think it's supposed to be Fighters.
I think I've heard it both ways. Reading that somewhere.
Because they put say it that way.
Because they put the Z together with Fighter, and that's how you would pronounce it.
But it is capital.
But like, yeah, that's the thing. Is like, I don't know one way or another. I've been saying Fighters, but like, that kind of describes an entire genre.
Yeah. So like I don't know. I've always said Fighter Z because it's a capital Z, and they're like the Z Warriors and shit. But not all of them.
This is official from Bandai Namco. We can confirm officially that we pronounce it like the word Fighters, not Fighter Z, not Fighter Z, not Fighter Zeto, not Fighters. Fighters. Although we can't stop people from saying it however they want.
Yeah, I'm still going to say Namco. Fighter Z.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, whatever. As long as whoever you're talking to knows what you're talking about.
Because everybody's just going to say that Dragon Ball fighting game.
Yeah, the good one.
Yeah, the good one. Because it is awesome. It is really fun. And Bardock and Broly look really awesome to play with, especially Broly. Because like, he's a ridiculous character to begin with. And the animation work that they did on him in the game is awesome. Like,
yeah,
he's huge and silly and just badass. So,
yeah, I had the pleasure of playing that with a friend when he got it. I was going to call it opening weekend. Oh, my God. Like, the weekend it released. And it's awesome. I love Dragon Ball, and it will always have a place in my heart. But once Boo had like a third form, I just was like, I'm done.
That's where I got super into it.
So I haven't watched GT or Fight or Super or anything. So we're playing the villain mode. I'm like, Frieza has a new voice, and to me he sounds like Stewie from Family Guy, and like I hated it. But it was a really fun game.
You're listening to the American voices.
It was his house, but he likes the American ones. I only listen to the Japanese versions.
Same here.
Like, I kind of hate Goku and Vegeta's voice in Funimation. To me, Goku's like a sound always has to sound like he needs to sound like a little like a woman doing like a kid's voice. Like, it just makes more sense to me. I don't know. It's just
same here. That works for me.
Yeah. I think because he's like purposely such a simple character that has absolutely no character growth over his entire life, that like it kind of makes sense that he's still like got this little kid voice.
I love it. I seriously recommend watching Super. It really wrapped up well. Like,
all right. So I have a friend that's good. I have a friend that's still really into Dragon Ball. And he knows I'm not watching it. And he sent me the clip of the very last fight with Goku, Vegeta, and Jiren, or whatever he pronounced his name. Like,
yeah, Jiren.
So he's like, you're not invested in this. Can you tell me if this is cool or not? Because I loved it. So I watched it, and I was like, no, that was badass. It was cool. Like, it kind of makes me kind of want to watch Super.
You really should. I mean, it's...
From what I know of it, though, it sounds like bad fan fiction, especially Goku Black.
No, that was actually really good.
Yeah,
they explained it well. They did that really good.
I don't know.
Because that was the thing. Like, that was something that Dragon Ball had never done before, was who is this guy? Like, it was an actual mystery. Like, who the hell is this? And because that's never been the case before. The villain's always been, nah, it's this guy. He's evil. Fight him.
Well, right. my problem with Dragon Ball is with the whole Shonen Jump formula was like, oh, we just beat this bad guy. Oh, there's a new badder bad guy. Let me train, get a new form or a new move, and now we can beat him. And then, oh no, there's a new badder bad guy. That's why I was like, with the 10 millionth form of Boo, I was like, oh god, I can't take this anymore. But like, I really,
I did like the way that they danced around that with this one. I mean, obviously you did like, all right, so Battle of the Gods, what was it? Beerus, he's not a bad guy. He's a god of destruction. He's just doing his job. And then you get Goku Black, who is a bad guy, but he's a mystery with an interesting story. And you've got the whole way it ended with the Tournament of Power. There was no bad guy. Actually, most of the other people in the tournament thought Goku was the bad guy because he was the one who started the damn tournament.
I will say the Tournament of Power sounds awesome, but like, they got to bring those characters back, right? Like, I've seen so many,
I'm not
like
spoiling the ending.
Okay. Because I've seen people like really like love those characters during that show, and I'm like, and I found out like, oh, they're all getting erased. What? That seems like a waste.
And like that's kind of the fun thing about this too, is that there's it goes just like Dragon Ball, where power levels are completely out of whack. Doesn't make a lick of sense half the time. Like, this character can stand up to this other character when it shouldn't match up like that, and it doesn't matter because it's just fun.
I also like the series a lot more when it was Dragon Ball, because it wasn't just about like ridiculous fights. It was like this fun adventure. Like, once you stop getting Akira Toriyama like vehicles, like, you lose half of the what makes it awesome to me.
This did have a lot more humor than Z did.
Okay. Because Z really was very self-serious. And like I said, that will always have a special place in my heart. But like, as an adult, I can't take it seriously.
I say give it a whirl.
All right.
You've been listening to the Dragon Ball podcast.
Yeah. Ever since the game came out, like it's become up in conversation a lot more. So it's been more like, you know, on the mind, as it were. But yeah, the new God of War looks cool.
It sure does. I don't have a PS4.
Yeah, neither do I. I'm actually kind of surprised that they're still using Kratos and using the Norse gods, as I thought maybe it'd be cool if that was like a sequel series where it's like a new character for like that mythology.
I agree. I think it's going to be cool to see how they work that in, though.
Yeah,
like how does Kratos end up over in this other realm? Because that was something that they talked about. Like, I think when the first God of War came out, like, David Jaffe even talked about it back then, of like, wouldn't it be cool if Kratos, like, after he's done destroying, you know, the gods of his realm, gets pissed off and he's like, I'm going to go kill all the other gods too. Like, I'm going to the Egyptian pantheon, and I'm going to the fucking Sumerian pantheon, and like all this other stuff. And I was like, yes, that sounds awesome. Like, but, that's what I want. But how they're going to make it work is going to be, because like, he's got a kid in this world. I don't know. It's going to be awesome.
I'm very curious. I do love the God of War series. But I remember after 3, I was like, what the hell are they going to do next? He killed everybody. There's no Greek mythology left.
Well,
so, and then
mythology.
That's obviously, yeah, I would say that's obviously been a few years since then.
It's going to be dicey when he takes on Jesus.
Yeah,
I hope they have the balls to go there. I really do.
That would be amazing. I don't expect that. The best we got is Dante's Inferno for that, but
which was actually kind of a cool game.
Yeah, it was all right.
That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad.
Yeah, as far as like an obvious God of War clone.
Sure. But I mean,
that doesn't mean a bad game. They made a
God of War clone based on an epic poem.
Yeah.
That's kind of badass.
I love that the like collector's edition of that came with the Inferno.
Yeah.
And like, the average person isn't going to read that. Like, it's, you know, with its old-timey dialogue, and like it's kind of like it's something for like literature majors to read.
Us nerds.
Yeah, like, but it's like, but they were like marketing the game as like to God of War fans. Not that God of War fans can't be smart, but like, they're more like the average, you know, the average Joe. You know what I mean?
I do. I remember selling those things, and they'd be like, "Oh, this is so awesome!" And no, nobody read that thing. Nobody.
Yeah, nobody was gonna. I thought it was cool. It came with that because, like, yeah, that's neat, but I was like, even at the time, I was like, nobody's going to read that, that I'm selling this. Because I was also selling it at the time, too.
It was cool that they went and at least made the effort to, like, you know what, maybe 1% of the people that buy this game will actually read the poem and get something out of it. And wouldn't that be nice? You know?
Yeah. So. And they could be like, wow, this game has nothing to do with this.
Good poem.
It is good. I studied it in high school.
It's cool. Anyway.
Well, I guess I'll talk about what I've been playing to finish this out. And I have indeed been playing more of Kirby, Kirby Star Allies. I bought the game. And unfortunately, sadly, not from Scott.
I did try to sell it to you. But
you did.
Our distributor, our shipment got stuck in another state. So I didn't.
Just bad times.
I didn't have it when you were there to buy it. And I was like, well, not your fault. You know, I wouldn't take any offense if you picked it up because you wanted it. I didn't have
it. I did, and I just held on to my store credit for, I guess, wow. All right, so
well, I know
first
we're getting
video.
Labo in a couple weeks. I don't know if you're looking for that.
Nah, I'm not jumping into Labo. Okay. My kids just aren't old enough for it, I don't think.
Fair enough.
Though John's been doing some great stuff with Lego, so maybe he is. I don't know. I'm still on the fence, but I've been talking to Dan about possibly picking up Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze with it, which I said I wasn't going to pay full price for. But since I have store credit, I'm not technically paying full price for it. So
yeah, it's a good way of looking at it.
The first video just came out because they just had it on display at some conference. I don't think it was GDC. I think it was something else. But they just had the game on display, and there were some comparison videos of loading times.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
They are significantly better. They're not, like, holy crap, amazing. They're not, like, oh, my God, I can't believe how fast this is loading. But they're still, like, now they're just, like, normal loading times, is pretty nice.
I loved the Wii U era. Like, I did love the Wii U. Like, I didn't get a lot of games, but, like, what I got, I really liked. Tropical Freeze was a game I missed for whatever reason, so I'm pretty excited it's coming to the Switch. Mm-hmm. I think $50 is a little much, because I still have my Wii U. I can just go buy it for $20.
Wait, is it $50 or is it $60?
Or maybe it's $60. Maybe it's $59.99. Regardless.
Yeah, see, $60, because this game didn't come out on Wii U at $60.
Yeah, and that's what it was. It came out on
$60 for this.
That's what I was thinking. It came out for $50 on Wii U.
Kind of dicey that they're charging that much for it on Switch, but you know, maybe they can get it, and I hope they can, because
they will.
This game deserves to be played by a lot of people, and Kirby's apparently doing quite well for them. So
yeah, I mean, I'd pay $60 for a new Mario Maker.
I would too.
Yeah. So,
I mean, really, if you haven't played Tropical Freeze before, it is $60 worth of game easily.
Yeah. No. I do
it's
need
not
to,
short. It's gorgeous. It's hard as nails.
I do need it. I did love draw the first Returns game. I just, like I said, for whatever reason, I guess I wasn't interested at the time, and then I just never got around to it.
It came out at such a weird time. I feel like it just showed up in stores, and it just wasn't, there wasn't enough hype around it. It just kind of fell flat.
Did it come around out around like another game? Was it like Wind Waker or something? I think
you
I was playing.
Probably wasn't too far from that.
I think
I, don't
I was.
Remember
I think I was
sure.
playing something else, and I was like, "Well, I'm playing this. I'll get that when I'm not playing something." And just, I just never got around to it.
It Let's is see, Wind excellent. Waker. Like it yeah, is. It is definitely worth the money.
Yeah, and you know, people are really like ragging the Switch on ports and stuff now. But like, I don't have a system that plays Doom, and I really want to play that.
And you should, because it was awesome.
Yeah, but
you
know
what I
mean?
The whole thing on Switch. It was great.
I want to, you know, as a consumer, I want everything on my one platform. So I don't mind.
I'm with you there.
Getting 100%. Some ports. I would like them spread out a little bit, with like peppered with some more like original games. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the first half of this year feels very port heavy. But last year we got Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey, so like.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Switch's library, especially with all the indie stuff that's out, and, you know, we got Star Allies, we're getting Labo, we're getting Mario Tennis, you know, we got Tropical Freeze, or getting Tropical Freeze, we got Bayonetta 1 and 2, so it is...
Dude, we're getting a freaking Smash Brothers game this year, apparently.
We are.
So...
Might even be a new one. I'm jazzed as hell for that, so...
I'm not trying to get hyped up for it as if new game. I think I'm operating at it being an enhanced port right now, and so that way, if I'm wrong, it's even cooler.
I'm writing a whole article on it on Stone Age Gamer about what I think it is and what I hope it will be. So
I wrote an article on our store's website about all the things I want it to do.
I'll have to read yours.
Yeah, it's on levelupentertainment.com. You just scroll down a little bit and there's the blog posts.
Nice. All right. Yeah, I'll give that a peek.
Yeah, I did write it from the perspective of the store, so like a couple of the characters were suggestions from other people that worked with us.
I see. All right.
For instance, we have someone on the staff who's a huge Fire Emblem fan. She's like, "I want more Fire Emblem characters," and I was like, "All right, I'll write that."
Only if you're taking out other ones.
Like as much as I love like Roy and Lucina, we don't need three Marths. But
we don't.
In the article we wrote about like, listen, we need less swordsmen. So it's like you could do Tiki, you could do like Tharja, you could do Camilla. Like there's a bunch of characters we came up with that would be cool. And they would play differently, and because it's way more than just blue-haired swordsmen, the series. Mm-hmm. We'll probably get the main character from the new game, though, realistically.
Mm-hmm, probably.
That's just how they roll.
Yeah, well, I didn't even really touch on new characters. I wrote a whole article about that a while ago before it was announced. These are the characters I wanted them to show up.
My problem is like most of my top characters they've added, like for the last like my top three characters for years have been Mega Man, Little Mac, and original Ganon, and I don't think we're getting Ganon.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
But like after that, I'm like, I'd love a Belmont just to bring Castlevania into it.
That's really my number one. That's who I voted for in the Smash poll is Simon Belmont. I'll take a generic Belmont character that you can switch between.
Yeah,
you know, you can use the same move list for most of the Belmonts, and it would make sense.
You could make Belmont. And people would be excited about it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Bringing
Castlevania to Smash needs to happen.
I mostly want a Dracula's Castle stage with all like a big soundtrack of Castlevania songs.
It would be so cool. I think Bomberman needs to be in Smash Brothers.
Bomberman would be great. The two people I voted for were Simon Belmont and Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight would be pretty great.
I just love his game so much.
I still want Shovel Knight in the new Soul Calibur.
That would actually be awesome. I didn't even think about that.
But see, like you showed me that picture of him all like realistic looking. Yeah. I want him to look like he does in Ukulele.
That would be great.
In super realistic Soul Calibur. That's what I want. If Shovel Knight's gonna be somewhere, he's gotta look like a cartoon.
Yeah.
Complete fish out of water.
I want him to look like a cartoon too, but like what's that game the guy who made Castlevania did like a Kickstarter?
Bloodstained,
yeah. He apparently Shovel Knight's in that, but he's drawn like he lives in that world.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at that yet. I've been avoiding everything. I helped kickstart it, and I just want to be surprised when it comes out. So I'm trying not to pay any attention.
I was afraid of a Mighty Number 9 situation again, so I didn't put my money on that.
Oh, Mighty Number 9.
Yeah.
You're doing good things with the character now.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, dude, Mighty Gunvolt Burst is a cool-ass game.
All right, well, that's because... Who's the developer of that? I met him at too many games last year. Anyway, they make good games because I love Blaster Master Zero.
Oh, Blaster Master Zero is so good.
I know.
It's so good.
I love Blaster Master to begin with, and it's just like it super annuates the original one. Like I have no desire to ever go back and play it because this one's so much better.
It's wonderful. I mean, I'll always go back to the original as well for various reasons, mostly music, but yeah, Blaster Master Zero was phenomenal. So anyway, I've been playing Kirby.
Yeah, so way off track there, yeah.
I've been playing Kirby, and I am really enjoying it. It is, I'm not playing it with, like, I'm playing a lot of the time with my kids around, but I'm also playing it by myself. Not a lot, because I also have a handful of other games that they're kind of bored by, so I don't, you know, I play those when I'm by myself. But the thing that I'm enjoying about Kirby is that it is fun, but not challenging, which is, I mentioned this before that it seemed that way to start with, and it still is that way. I'm in the third world now, and it's like coming off of Celeste and Dandara, playing a 2D platformer that's very clever and still fun without providing any real challenge is just kind of exactly what I need in my life right now.
Yeah, not every game needs to be a Dark Souls. Like sometimes you just want to play a game and unwind. That's like, I remember when Epic Yarn came out, a lot of people were like shitting on that game, and I was like,
but what a breeze that was. That was so nice.
But like, it was so relaxed. It was like fun. It was like nice to just kind of watch, you know?
Yeah, and like that's really how I feel about Star Allies, is it's just nice to play. Like if I'm going to bed at night, I'm not going to get riled up by this game. I'm not going to get like super excited while I'm playing it. I'm like, this is a really cool game to decompress to, because it's, you feel good when you're playing it because it is still clever. You know, there's still these neat little puzzles for you to solve, and they have those switches from Kirby's Adventure, you know, like this big dumb switch that you find that'll open up a new level on the map screen. Those are hidden in there. They're not, I mean, I'm only on the third world, so I can't say that they are all hidden. They aren't all hidden as well as they are in Kirby's Adventure, but they're, you know, they take a little bit of thought to get to. It's just a really delightful game. And I'm digging the DLC characters. The Rick, Koo, and Kine from Kirby's Dream Land 2 are in there, and that's really cool, combining all the abilities with the other friends that you get. And I thought it was going to be a lot more obnoxious playing with the three computer-controlled characters, but they haven't gotten into my way at all, and they typically do what I want them to do.
That's good.
Unless, like, there's a situation where I want them to do something that clearly isn't what you're supposed to do, but I'm so dumb I can't figure it out. Like, tonight... There's this wall, there are these doors, and there's like a metal fuse. You know, on the original and in Kirby's Adventure, you'd have to like light a fuse with fire and then it would shoot a cannon.
Yeah.
Well, they do that in this one too, but they also have these ones that are lit up with electric powers. And so there's like a little switch that you have to hit with electricity, and then the electricity will go through the wire and then open up a door. And I'm sitting here by this door. Now, I've done this twice already with these fuses, with the electricity stuff, and sitting here at this door, I'm yelling at the plug guy. I'm like, go light the darn thing, light it up. And I'm trying to get him to light the door itself, not what he's supposed to light up, like 4 feet up top. And I got real angry at the game until I realized I was being an idiot.
That's fine.
But no, it's a very pretty game. It's very delightful. And it's got these just so many music cues that draw back to the original games. It's really, really wonderful how they sprinkled music from Kirby's Dream Land for Game Boy and Kirby's Adventure for NES throughout the game. It's just been great. Dan, did I talk much about Degeneration last week?
A little bit.
Was last week when I had just gotten it and I only played a few minutes of it?
Yes. Or?
Okay. So I've put a little bit more time into Degeneration. And I am still pretty disappointed with it overall. It is still, at its core, it is still Degeneration, which is a great game that people should play, but it's really bogged down by a very subpar presentation. The music is great, and I'm not just saying that because it's by Mark Knight, who did our show's theme song. Like, the music really is great in the game. It's the original PC release doesn't have music in the background, and this one has a lot of like ambient stuff going on. It's nice. It's very nice, but a lot of the visuals just remind me of a PlayStation 1 game, and not in a good way. Not that there is a good way to do that, unless you're Symphony of the Night. But yeah, kind of a difficult sell. It's kind of heartbreaking, but Degeneration is such a good game. It's this three-quarters perspective kind of puzzle action game where you're trying to go door-to-door, like go through all these rooms and save people that are being attacked by geometric shapes. And it's relatively amusing in its bizarreness, but this game kind of seems to have sucked a little bit of the fun out of it by having this very strange soulless presentation. So, but it is still Degeneration, and I do recommend that people play it. It's on pretty much every platform. The most important thing that I'm playing obsessively is Arcade Archives released Punch-Out.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it just came out last Friday, I think. It wasn't on the regular release day. It was just dropped March 30th. It was like, okay, I don't know why this is getting its own day, but I'm freaking stoked about it because it's
the original arcade version of Punch-Out?
The original arcade Punch-Out.
How do they handle the two-screen thing then?
A couple of different ways. You can play it with them just stacked one on top of another where it's relatively small, so you got a lot of wasted real estate on your screen, but that's... No, the most accurate. You can also switch the screens to be side by side, left to right, which is how I've been playing it because that kind of works the best with your television.
Okay.
Or if you want to do it in handheld mode, you can turn the switch on its side and stack them that way.
All right.
Which is super cool.
That's awesome that you can do that. I know there was a pinball game. There were, was it Pinball FX? Where in handheld mode you can put it long ways?
Yes. Pinball FX? I think it's Pinball FX because I don't think Stern Pinball Arcade does that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Pinball FX does that. Yeah, no, I am just obsessively playing this because it is wonderful to have this game officially, I've wanted this game to actually buy this game ever since I first played it in the arcade. It's Punch-Out's one of my all-time favorite series. I adore Punch-Out so much, and to finally have the original one at my fingertips whenever I want it, portable or on my television in this wonderful, wonderful recreation, is just fantastic. One of the things about the emulation that I think is strange is I know the counting is very fast in arcade Punch-Out. I feel like it's too fast in this. Like, I don't know what's going on there. Like, the counting when you knock somebody down seems to go by too fast. But other than that, the actual timing of the game itself feels right to the arcade version, which is to say it is extremely loose depending on how tired your character is.
Well, I mean, it was originally designed just to take your money. So I'm assuming the fast counts... Or like, just so you can get through the game a little quicker.
Yeah. I still can't. I can't get past Piece of Pasta, and which is as far as I've gotten in the arcades too. I've never gotten a Sandman in the
arcade. Never gotten too far in the arcades because it's honestly, I feel like it's a pretty rare game for arcades. Like growing up, I didn't know it was an arcade game. I thought it just started with, you know, Mike Tyson's Punch Out. But So I've only seen it a couple of times, so I haven't had much exposure to it. I haven't had a lot of time to practice. So it's really cool that like I could just go pick that up right when we're done this podcast.
Yeah, and you definitely should. It's just, you know, go in expecting it to be so different from any of the other Punch-Out games. Like, it is a very different flavor. It does have a lot more in common with Super Punch-Out for Super NES than Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, besides the character selection, obviously. Mm-hmm. It feels so much looser because your character tends to slow down if your energy meter. So it's got the same meter as Super Punch Out, where you get to charge up your punches. It doesn't do star punches. It does the big super strong punches, and you can just keep throwing them as long as your meter is full. I think the lower your meter is, the slower your character punches. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to figure out the math on this game in a lot of ways because it's so cool to play this as somebody who's really, really, really spent a shitload of time with Punch-Out games, because it definitely, you can see where the different games in the series have drawn from the arcade games. Like, this game has a lot of timing issues, whereas in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, for example, as soon as you see a character animate, you dodge. That's 99% of the time. In the second Don Flamenco fight, if you dodge immediately and you do a fast dodge, you're still going to get hit when he throws his small jabs. But pretty much every other punch in the game, as soon as you see the first frame of animation, if you dodge left, you're going to dodge it. In the arcade Punch-Out, it does similar to what a lot of title defense did in Punch-Out Wii, where you have to learn each character's timing. Like, when you get to Bald Bull, or even the second character, Piston Hurricane, when you're fighting him, if you're just going to dodge immediately, you're going to come back before he actually throws his punch. So you really have to learn the timing and the patterns of all these characters, similar to title defense in Punch-Out Wii, which they also do title defense in the arcade Punch-Out. You have to beat... Glass Joe, Piston Hurricane, Bald Bull, Kid Quick, Pizza Pasta, and Mr. Sandman. And then after you beat all them, they challenge you again for title defense, which I didn't really know the arcade game did that when I played Punch-Out Wii, because I had never gotten that far in it and I hadn't really watched a lot of videos on it. I played the arcade game as a quarter muncher when I was a kid, when I went camping at the arcade I went to on the campground that we used to go to, because that was camping for me.
really roughing it.
But they have a Punch-Out arcade machine at Yestercades in Red Bank. And so I've parked my ass in front of that machine for like at least a solid hour at a time, and really spent time trying to learn these characters, and I could not get past Piece of Pasta. And Kid Quick is tough as nails too. He is impossible. Like, you run out of time in this game, and there is no decision. No matter what if you've never been touched and this guy has like a sliver of health left, if you run out of time, you still lose, which really cheeses me off. Cause for some reason, Kid Quick, I always run out of time fighting him. And Pizza Pasta is right after him. But it's so cool having this game and really studying it and seeing all the influences on the later games. And I hope with every fiber of my being that they keep doing these Nintendo releases, because they're so far they've done Arcade Mario Brothers, which is I talked about on the show when it came out, is something I've wanted my whole freaking life, is to own the arcade version of Mario Brothers, and now I do. They did Super Mario Brothers Versus, which I didn't pick up because I'm assuming that the NES Super Mario Brothers is eventually going to come to the platform, and I don't need to pay $7 or $7 or $8 for that, because it's not that different. And Punch-Out is now the third one that they've done of a Nintendo arcade game. And I'm so happy to have the opportunity to buy these games. I hope against hope that they do the Donkey Kong games, you know, 1, Junior, and 3. And Super Punch-Out is just like, because that one I've never actually played the arcade version outside of playing it on MAME on my Raspberry Pi, which isn't, it's just not the same. I want that so bad.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of, like, what other Nintendo arcade games I'd really want. Because, like, the Versus games are cool, but, like, they're not different enough from their NES and Famicom counterparts for me.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would love to have Versus Duck Hunt. I have a version of that on my EverDrive, actually, so I can play it with my Zapper on my CRT. But, you know, Versus Duck Hunt is pretty cool because it goes, like, the stage progression is neat, and they've got that they actually throw the clay shooting in with this regular stage progression instead of it being a totally separate mode. And you've also got that bonus mode where you can shoot the dog, which is,
yeah, that's so, I mean, cathartic. That is the only reason to really port that, is be able, yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, versus Clue Land, who needs,
yeah,
that?
Or like versus tennis.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's really not much of a difference there. And even stuff like Versus Pinball, like, I actually prefer the NES version. I messed with Versus Pinball. I think the NES version's cooler.
I mean, Versus Pinball is cool because it's got, like, more sound, like, tracks in the sound.
It does, but I don't like them as much as the, yeah.
But,
the,
like,
the one
the gameplay is, the gameplay is still just NES Pinball, which is a good, yeah, pinball game for Nintendo.
It is. I love that game. That game more than I should.
What I'd rather see them do is go to the guys that make, you know, pinball effects, and then make that make a table based on that.
That would be so cool.
That would be amazing. I can't believe no one's thought of that yet. But
with the little penguins, and oh my god, that would be so cool.
But yeah,
which blew my mind, Scott.
Yeah, that would
not
be great.
Picturing the seals in 3D.
Well, yeah, like
they can show up and bounce the balls.
They
oh
can
my
have,
god, that was
they
so
can,
cool.
They can have a part up at the top of the board where it's the Mario, like, bonus spot. And they can pop the ball in there, and the screen will move up there.
Holy crap, dude! You're melting my brain right now.
Yeah, I really they've had some good tables so far. I'm glad that's on the Switch, because now I can just kind of pick it up and play it.
They also announced the Pinball Arcade for Switch, which has my two favorite tables, Taxi and Twilight Zone. So I cannot wait for that to come out.
I don't like Twilight Zone.
Oh my god!
I think I just haven't played enough of it. I played it at Silver Ball, and I'm like, I love the series. Twilight Zone is one of my favorite series ever. Like, I don't know what it is. I just can't get into the pinball version. Maybe theirs was like busted or something on that day. Because it's just, I don't know. I couldn't get into it. What I really want
is
the
special ball that's in there. There's like a plastic ball that you can unlock that, you know, doesn't work with any of the magnets and stuff, and it moves super fast. Like, that game is absolutely insane. When you fight the power up in the left hand corner, it gets these, like, these two little magnet things, and the sounds. Oh, it's so loud and so wonderful. Oh my god, I love that game.
I'll freely admit I might just be just terrible at it, so I don't get to do any of the cool things. That's a very, very distinct possibility, but, like, I would love if they, for lack of a better term, ported like Mars Attacks to like a home console.
Yeah, or... I mean, I know a lot of, like, I have the version for Mac, because as soon as they got the license to Twilight Zone, I was like, all right, well, I need to buy this on any platform I can, and so on my computer I have it, so I can at least play that. But if when that comes to Switch, I'm just going to be the happiest little camper, because I don't even care if they don't do the horizontal mode. Like, as long as I can play Twilight Zone and plug in my headphones and listen to that crazy-ass version of the Twilight Zone by Golden Earring blasting as it says, don't touch the door, don't touch the door. I love that game so much.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of games I like. I know one of them has, like, the Star Trek The Next Generation pinball game.
That's the Pinball Arcade.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I didn't remember definitively.
It's got TNG. It's got Adam's Family. a bunch of those like crazy ass tables.
Which those tables are really expensive, so it's kind of nice to be able to have like an affordable alternative.
Yeah, because like I would love to buy a Twilight Zone, but it's one of the most expensive pinball tables you can buy because it's so complicated. Yeah,
and like I'd love to have the next gen one, but like the maintenance on that's like ridiculous because there's so much like stuff that can go wrong with it. But it's so cool because of that, because you're gonna get all the different like ships and stuff.
All right, well, we should probably wrap this up. I feel like I'm forgetting something else that I picked up on Switch because I've been buying so many games, but I know...
you didn't pick Punch up Owlboy yet, right?
I have not picked up Owlboy, no.
All right, they just actually announced the release date for PS4, which is next Tuesday. But nice. I don't know that I will have much to say about it before we record, but I am definitely getting it.
You're gonna dive into Owlboy before God of War. Wow.
I'm sitting here and my wife hasn't shook her head no yet, so we're definitely getting Owlboy next Tuesday.
Like really the only reason I haven't gotten it yet is because it's $25.
I want it so bad though.
It's a beefy price when Dandara was 15 and Celeste was 20. Like
yeah.
That game's got to be really freaking good to stand up to those two in my mind, and apparently it does. It holds up very well, but
yeah, it's got all the other phenomenal stuff, reviews. So
Zeo Drifter just went on sale for $5. People, if you don't own Zeo Drifter on your Switch, it's $5 right now. Buy it immediately. It's so good.
It was on the Wii U, right? As a different, with it was a different on the Wii U.
It was just Zeo Drifter. It's the same thing. It was on 3DS. It was on then ported to Wii U, and now it's on Switch. I think it's on PS4 and all manner of other things. It's just a great little compact Metroid style game.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different game. Sorry.
It's high quality stuff. But yes, Punch Out arcade version. If you like Punch Out, like I was reading on Facebook the post that Hamster Interactive or Hamster Incorporated, whatever they're called, the post like Punch Out is now available on the Switch, and so many people were like, "Man, this game sucks." It's like, no, this game does not suck. You suck at it.
That's right.
This game is hard.
It is. You
can't just play it.
It is different than like the more popular, well known versions of Punch Out.
Yeah, and it is a lot more floaty.
And again, it's an arcade game, so it's meant to kill you as much as it can. That's why it's a lot harder.
It you're absolutely right. But it's like, man, if you want to know what these characters originally looked like, you know, if you want to see the original sprites for Bald Bull and see how well those translated to NES, like, it's so cool watching this as a piece of evolution of the Punch-Out franchise.
Well, the characters in NES are amazing because, like, they're an NES game, but they're so expressive and distinct. I guess that kind of brings it all back around because we're doing the Punch Out one still going on this week.
That's right.
So
go to Level Up Entertainment. All right. So I think that's all the time we've got for this. Thank you very much for joining us, Scott. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. So that's our show. Join us next week when Dan and I will be stepping ever closer to our 200th episode. Right. Can you believe it?
I can. I've been here for most of them.
Yeah. To celebrate, Dan and I are going to be doing a little ranking fun starting next week with our top 5 video game systems. We think, I had this idea earlier today, I'm not 100% sold on it, but I think that's what we're going to do.
We'll figure it out during the week.
We'll figure it out at some point during the week. But once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram @Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter @the_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. You can find me @GeekadeChris. That's Geekade KRIS. And Dan, where can these lovely people find you?
@GeekadeDan.
And Scott, are you on Twitter? Do you tweet?
I have a Twitter. I don't use it much. I'm an old man and I don't understand it. But if you want to follow me there and on Instagram, I'm Level Up Scott. That's LVL Up Scott. And Scott has 2 T's. If you want to follow the store, we're on all that stuff. Level Up Entertainment. If you want to check out the Retro Challenge, it's levelupentertainment.com, Free Comic Book Day, FCBDNJ.com. We also have a couple other smaller events this month. Action Comics number 1000 comes out on the 18th, so we're going to have a special DC Comics sale. We're also going to do, if you live in the area, we're going to do a viewing party at the movie theaters when Avengers comes out. which is the last week of April. I forget the exact date offhand. Hmm. And then Free Comic Book Day on May 5th.
Fantastic. I will be there for at least one of those.
Yeah.
Well, if you're interested in any of the things we discussed tonight, including all those things Scott said, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher. Or if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Dean, for taking over for Evan, because Evan is busy running Garden State Comic Fest in Atlantic City. And making this show listenable for all you folks. And we'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp or his website, which we have a link to again in the show notes. Always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com for more fresh original content. Thank you, everybody. Thank you again, Scott. Dan, go scratch. have a great night.